Hey, this is Kyle Eidelman from Southeast Christian Church, and I want to thank you for listening to the message today. As we open up the scriptures together, I pray that this message inspires you, challenges you, and is the right word at just the right time in your life. Enjoy the message.
Hey, church family, we are in week 2 of our Full Force series, walking through Romans chapter 12. When we put this series together, I was excited really to preach all the messages in this series, but I started to think of someone who has greatly influenced me specifically through their teaching on Romans chapter 12, and that's my friend Chip Ingram. Chip has, I know, inspired and helped disciple many of you in your faith. That's true in our community. Honestly, though, it's true all around the world. Chip's passion is helping followers of Jesus live out the ways of Jesus. And through this curriculum, you'll get to engage with some practical tools that Chip's team has created to help us move from spiritual spectator to an unleashed follower. Chip is an author, pastor. He has been a teacher for more than 3 decades, and he's a dear friend of Southeast. We're really grateful to have him here this week and next weekend as well. Would you please give a warm Southeast welcome to Chip Ingram?
Well, Kyle, thank you very, very much. I love when I get to come here. You all have had a great impact on me as well. And it seems like each service, I see God show up in different ways. As we were singing, I claim your holy name over our families. I was just there on the front row, and I was just thinking of my wife, and then I've got 12 grandkids, and each of the faces of them came to my mind, and I just thought, oh God, I so long in this world, would you please, please grab a hold of their hearts? So thank you, worship team, and thank you, church, for what you're doing. Kyle last week launched Romans 12, and it's really the profile of what an authentic follower or a disciple is. And he reminded us that in our relationship with God, after we've come to know Jesus, his will for all of us is to be surrendered to God. Remember that? Surrender is the conduit through which God's biggest and best blessings flow. Therefore, I urge you, my brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, 11 chapters of what he's done, offer your body a certain day at a certain time, and you say, I'm all in, because that's what God really wants. And then we move to this battle that we're all in, this world system that wants to seduce our hearts away from our love of Christ. And he says, don't be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world that says success and security and significance really comes from stuff out there. But instead, have your mind renewed with God's word, with God's people, so that you could actually experience God's will, the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And we're gonna talk today about the next 3 verses. You can open your Bibles or your phones or whatever. We're gonna look at Romans chapter 12, verses 3-8. And this passage answers 3 questions that all of us, I mean, you will start answering these questions unconsciously at 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and even preteen. And then when you get way, way older, like some that I won't mention right now, you're still answering them. And the questions are, who am I? 2nd question is, where do I belong? And the 3rd question is, what's my purpose? Now, those aren't light questions. Those are heavy, heavy questions. And we sang that, you know, in his name there's power. In his name there's healing. In his name there's life. But Kyle was very kind. He said, I've been doing this for about 30 years. Honestly, it's been 40 years. And I'm going to tell you, I've had the great, great privilege of being with fellow believers. The average believer who genuinely knows Jesus is not experiencing his power, is not experiencing significant healing, and is not experiencing life. Somehow, I don't know how it happened, blame some of us pastors, but over time, it's like go to church maybe 2 times a month, if you're really committed, maybe 3, all-stars come 4, try to be a nicer person than most people at work, read the Bible a little bit now and then, hope your life works out. But that's not the kind of Christian that changed the world, and that's not the kind of Christian that experiences power and healing in life. If someone asked you privately and it was safe and said, who are you? What would be the answer? Would it be, who am I? I'm a mom or I'm a dad. Is that the role? Or would it be your profession? I'm an artist. I'm a software developer. I'm a business owner. I'm a student. I mean, who are you? This thing right here is discipling all of us almost 24/7, telling you this is who you are. In fact, if you really want to be a someone, you need to, right? And those algorithms are just filling your mind and your heart day after day after day. And the sad part is those questions are so deep about who I am and where I belong, they're hard to get our arm around, and so it's so much easier to be distracted. I have the unease, scroll, binge, Netflix, movies, go to a concert. All those things may have their place, but answering those three questions will change the course of your life. And I'm gonna ask you to really think deeply and walk with me, because you were put on this planet for a purpose. Have you really thought about what that is? I mean, more than things going well and maybe being successful, and if you're single, maybe if you want to get married, you get married, and if you get married, maybe you want to have some kids, and you have some kids, and we just start doing all the stuff, and you stop. I meet people all the time who've come to the end, and they realize, I never figured out who I was. I was trying to be what everyone told me I should be. I never felt like I really belonged. I felt like I had to pose and I had to dress a certain way and act a certain way. And if I'm in one group, I joined a country club. And if I'm in another group, I was in a gang and I'm acting cool and I'm acting bad. And if another group, I put on a jersey because we're Cardinals, or heaven forbid, we're UK. and by the way, would you, some of you are giving me that look like, this is getting a little sensitive here. This isn't an issue of, do we do this? We all do. The only question is how much. Today, we're going to walk through a passage that will help you understand to experience the full force, the power that you long for and I long for, the healing that we all need to be unleashed first in us and then through us, is answering these questions. Where you really come to grips, and can I tell you something? You're not going to get it from this hour in this message or as you're watching and listening in all these campuses. This will be the beginning. This church has a vision to help all of us become more and more like Jesus, who discover where we really belong, where we can be ourselves and be loved and give love, and then discover that he wants to use us 7 days a week in our homes and at work and everywhere. But most of us haven't been equipped to know how to do that. And that's what this whole series is about. It's about being surrendered to God and gradually, progressively, separate from the world's values. And then it's to come to what I call a sober self-assessment, where you get an accurate view of who you are from God, where you find yourself on a journey with other believers who accept and love you just for who you are, and out of that you discover, yes, there's some general purposes, but are you ready? There is 8+ billion people all around the world, and none of them have your DNA. None of them have your family of origin. None of them are wired exactly like you. And the God of the universe says, from the foundations of the earth, I created a good work, a special assignment that only you can fulfill. And when you do, it will give you joy unimaginable, and it will impact people in ways that you would never dream. The problem is, it's really hard to figure this one out. Open your Bibles, if you will. I know some of you are in Romans, and you know, I'm a little bait and switch here. Could you flip to Genesis 3 just quickly? I'm not going to teach the whole passage, but I just want you to see why, if some of you are thinking, oh man, who am I? That's like really big, and where do I belong, and my purpose in life? Like, dude, are you kidding? No, I'm not. But I want you to see why it's so difficult. Sin has entered the world and it's corrupted everything, but the biggest thing it's corrupted is how we do relationships, how we do ourselves, and how we try to answer these questions. It starts off like this in verse 8. Adam and Eve heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" God knows where he's at. God is the greatest counselor, and good counselors always ask us probing questions, so we have to process it ourselves to say, "Where am I?" Adam responds, "I heard the sound of you in the garden," notice the pattern, "and I was afraid because I was naked. I hid myself." In a perfect relationship with God, something happened. When God comes close, he's afraid. He's naked, hiding. He said, "Who told you that you were naked?" Next big question, "Have you eaten from the tree which I command you not to eat?" And the man said, "The woman." Now, you know, sometimes we rush through these, but imagine it's a perfect environment. You're married to the most beautiful woman in the world. Yeah, let your mind go on that one a little bit. There's only one woman. Hey, but she's flawless in every way. You have intellectual unity, emotional unity, physical unity. I mean, it's perfect. And her only experience with you up to now is you're awesome. And so God comes, sin enters, and Adam is the first guy to throw his wife under the bus. Under pressure, "Hey, it wasn't me, it's the woman that you gave me." And so now the camera shifts to the woman, and God says to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" And she's a very quick learner. "It's not my fault, blame someone else. It's the serpent that deceived me." Three things make it very, very difficult to answer these big questions of life. And that's why most people skip superficially through life and never answer them. And that's why our lives are superficial and can often be hollow. And no matter how much success or dreams or goals that get fulfilled, we're left wanting, even though we know Jesus. And this whole series and this whole journey together is to say, let's stop. Let's really stop. Let's deal with these big kind of issues and let God do what he really wants to do so that we get the life that he died to give us. These three characteristics to the right answers are, number one, fear rooted in shame. I was afraid. We all secretly fear that if people saw the real you, your private thoughts and mine, your envy, your lust, your jealousy, your hypocrisy, your duplicity about what you present and who you really are and who I really am, right? We're afraid they'd reject us. The second obstacle is hiding rooted in insecurity. He says, "I was naked." He didn't know before, but now I realize I have issues. I don't measure up. I don't have it together. If you really believe that someone, if you expose yourself, you take off your mask, you stop pretending, you stop powering up, you stop trying to do all this kind of stuff, and if people really knew you and you really opened up, it's why we're not vulnerable. You're convinced because you see. People would reject you. And so we play this lifelong game of trying to come off as smarter than we really are, as more loving, as more caring. And the third is blaming rooted in denial. Adam said, "It's not my fault, it's this woman." She says, "It's not my fault, it's a serpent." And we have now a world of people that, what do? Even as believers. What's the big problem in the world? It's that other political party, the one that you're not in. They're messing up the whole world. Or it's Hollywood. Or it's the educational system. Or it's, you know, those terrible people, and you list them. Instead of, I gotta own my stuff. The world doesn't get better until I have to own what am I bringing. In the body of Christ, there are no victims. Now, we have family of origins. We got stuff to work through. I came from an alcoholic family. My wife came from an alcoholic family. But are you going to spend the rest of your life blaming your mom or your dad or the person who did this or that or your ex or the boss or the raw deal, and you just live in that whole world of little cesspool? Or do you step back and you say, you know something? I am more than a conqueror through Christ. That was difficult. That was painful. And by the grace of God, now I'm a new person. And he's going to give me all that I need. Well, I want to answer for you this big question, because this text is actually going to address the first question, which is identity, the second question, which has to do with our security, and the third question is about our significance. Follow along, if you will, in your Bibles, Romans 12, verses 3 through 8. And what I'd like you to do is just listen to the whole passage, and then we're going to jump in, and in these few verses, the Lord is going to speak to us, I pray, by the Spirit, about who we are, where we belong, and what we're made and purposed to do. Paul, after talking about this surrender to God and this journey and process of not being conformed to the world and experiencing God's will, he says, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith that God has given you." That's a command. Well, why? For just as each of us has one body, physical body, with many members, and these members do not have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many are form one body. And each member, are you ready? Belongs to all the others. And you might ask, well, how do you fit into this body and where? He says, well, we have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophecy, let him do it in the proportion of his faith. If it's serving, let him serve. If it's teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it's leadership, let him govern diligently. And if it's showing mercy, let him do it from the heart. Sort of the Chip Ingram modification of that passage. In verse 3, he's going to answer the question, and he's going to give us a command. And are you ready? Just lean back for just a second, because I'm being really intense, and you guys are really listening, but you're also going like, if I start thinking about this way, this could be scary. Here's what I want you to understand. Everything begins with how you think, and the most important thing is to think rightly about God, but the second most important thing is to think accurately about who you really are. And there's people been telling you who you are and what you ought to be and what you're like, and for some it's been great, you're wonderful, and other, you're a loser and you don't matter and you don't measure up. Are you ready for this? Here's the command. Think accurately about yourself. And by accurately, God wants you to see yourself the way he sees you. He says, for the grace of God, I say to you, let everyone think as he ought. And literally in the Greek text, the word think is repeated. And let him think not too highly of himself, but to think with a sober judgment. Think, sober judgment. All four of those words in one verse come from the same root word. And then you have that little line that says, according to the measure of faith that God has granted to each of us. So often when we hear this word faith, we just jump into, oh, that's my faith in Jesus. That's when I came to Jesus. That's a very important faith. But this has the article, according to the faith. He's talking about, I want all of you, just like you would look in a mirror and get an accurate picture of this is how I look. He says, I want you to look into my word, and I want the Holy Spirit to reveal to you when the creator of all the world made everything there is, when he looks at you, this is what he sees. That's the full measure of the faith. Like if you would open Ephesians chapter 1, 2 and 3, it says multiple times, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. The moment that you turned from your sin and in humility received the gift of Jesus Christ, the Bible says you were taken out of the kingdom of darkness, you were placed in the kingdom of light, and in that moment you were transferred, you became a child of God, and the Spirit of God entered your human body. You were justified or declared righteous. God put the robe of righteousness on you so that when he sees you today, he sees you through the lens of Christ. And he says every spiritual blessing in all of eternity has already been granted to you. And then he starts talking about what they are. You've been redeemed by the purchase price of his blood. So you're as valuable to God as the life of a son. Not only that, you've been adopted. You're in this new family that no one can take you out of. And then he sealed you with the Spirit so no one can take you away. Then he's given you this inheritance. I'm just walking through Ephesians 1. And then later he'll say he has deposited spiritual gifts inside of you, supernatural abilities that he will use where you actually become a conduit of the grace of God, where it's your words and your life that takes that person from darkness to light. Your words are your life that coaches that team and helps that little boy who doesn't have a dad. It's your words and your example and your life and gift that helps that person that thinks that addiction will never go away. And you have these moments where you realize God actually has invited me in to help transform the world with power and restoration and healing, even as he's changing me. But it all starts with this. When you answer the question, who am I? I mean, honestly, who are you? What's the lens? Where do you go? Most men, if I ask, who are you, they tell me where they work or what they do. If you're a really committed family member, a lot of women, it's, I'm a mom. Or I'm a working person. If you could grasp how God sees you and think accurately about yourself, all this noise about you need to look like this, you need to act like that, you need to go here or go there, you need to have this kind of watch, you need to dress like this, you need to, you know, be able to dance like this, right? You need to have so many likes. You need to retire at this rate. You need to have so much money in your 401k. You need to be so successful. Your kids need to all make the traveling team and they'll all play in the NBA or the NHL, right? Of course. You need to look a certain way. You need to have a certain body type. Noise, 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 noise. A world system and an enemy who's seeking to suck the life out of you and get you believing that security and significance and value and worth is somewhere out there. And you chase it all the while your soul and your Savior says, I made you different than 8 billion people. I gave you an eye color. I gave you a basic body frame. I gave you a family of origin, some that was hard, some that was good, some that was terrible, but I'm going to be with you and I'm going to take everything of how I've made you and everything you've been through if you lean in, and I'm going to make you a beautiful, beautiful child of God to reflect my son. And it's not for superstars. It's not for pastors. It's not for missionaries. And could I pause for just a minute? I was talking with someone after the service and, you know, just in passing, and I was sharing, you know, 5 years ago, 5.5 years ago, I'd been a senior pastor at the time for 36 or so years, and it's the role and it's where I belonged, and there was a rhythm of life. And God started to do some things around the world, and I had a couple back surgeries, so I didn't feel like I was being the pastor of this church that I could be. And God was, you belong in a new place. And I want you to be full-time at Living on the Edge, and I want you to, you know, I kind of did these things around the world that you didn't even know about. I want you to help these pastors here, but especially around the world that don't have anything. And so I want you to stop being that and start being this. Well, I'm in my 60s. I mean, every month the elders came to my house. That was my community. We ate together. My wife, the response was, you know, like here, we had multiple services, and she came to this one, and people would come and have problems, and I mean, my wife, if you're a deeply hurting person, my wife loves you. because she's been there and done that. She's been through such pain, and out of that grows people that so love. Well, now I'm not the senior pastor anymore, and for the next guy, one of my teaching pastors that took over, for him to be successful, I got to get out of there. So we went to a good church. My son's a pastor, so we thought, we'll go to his church. And everyone's like 28. And it was great. You know, we have all these young people and we're helping them. But, you know, we walk out of there and it's like, who do we do life with? You know, who are we now? My wife's feeling like, I've been a pastor's wife almost since I've known you. And you know, the structures were there and our life was really working. I mean, it took 3 to 5 years of us re-asking the question, where do we belong? And in this season, okay, this has gone well and God's used us here and we've had some struggles and like everyone, we've had struggles in our marriages, we've had struggles with some of our kids, we've had up, we've downs, God's done different things. Now it's a new season. What's your purpose in this season, Chip? And can I just tell you guys, it was hard. And I've hit a few misses. But you know what I did? I got with some really godly people. I took, you know, we developed some tests at Living on the Edge. I thought maybe I should take one of our own tests and learn from myself and some others. All I want you to know is thinking accurately about yourself and answers to these questions, I mean, it's a commitment. And in every season, the answers are a little bit different. The second is, where do you belong? He says, let each of us, we all have one body with many members. He gives us an illustration of the human body. And then he says, we belong to one another. And the question is, where do you fit? Unfortunately, most of us have grown up in a world where we're not sure whether we have any strengths. Some people get it pretty quickly. But we all know we have a lot of weaknesses. And we spend most of our life trying to shore up the weaknesses. You're not enough of this. You don't do this very well. And the fact of the matter, what this passage teaches is that we all have some strengths, but we all have some weaknesses. And what we tend to do with our weaknesses, we try to hide them, and then we try to pose. And God says, no, I want you to be real and vulnerable, think accurately. One of the things we do with churches and what you all will go through is, like, in your mind's eye, think of a 3x5 card, put a line down the middle, and put strengths on one side, weaknesses on the other. And I would encourage you before the day's over, as you join groups here and do this together, you'll go through this process. But right, these are my top 3 strengths. These are my top 3 weaknesses. And here's what I can tell you. For most of you, you can write 6 weaknesses in about 3 minutes. And after you get, well, I think I'm strong in this, then it'll be, oh, I can't think of anything else. Now there's a few people that will have like 9 strengths and no weaknesses. They're narcissists, and they're going to be a problem in your group. But here's what I learned. You know, I learned, you know what? God's given me some leadership gift, some teaching gift, and some coaching gift. Man, organizational, terrible. Technology, terrible. Follow-through details, my brain doesn't even work that way. I can't fix anything to save my life. Guess what? I married someone, follow-through, super organized, administrative. And there's not a detail in the world that doesn't come across her brain. Well, here's what happens. So we get married because we're attracted to one another. And for 6 months, it's awesome. And then she makes me nuts. And I make her nuts. Because we can't communicate. We don't know how to resolve anger. So we go to counseling, biblical counseling. And the counselor, it was so interesting. Because see, what he said was, this is what God wants. But when you get there, there's sparks. Because you think differences are wrong instead of differences are different. You complete each other. But that's the body of Christ. I mean, I love what I get to do, but anything I've done in any church or Living on the Edge, if there hadn't been the Andrews and the Gregs and the administrative strategic people that have created all the resources, basically all I can do is what I'm doing. And here's the bad part of my job. 24 hours from now, 90% of what I've said, you will forget. How would you like to have that job? Work real hard, prepare real hard, give it your all, and then this time tomorrow, did Kyle preach this week? No, I think it was that other guy. He's kind of moved around a lot. He was a little over the top. And it was something about, he kept saying those 3 questions, so I kind of got that. But here's the deal. That's all I need to do. I just need to do my part. And then I need to realize that by myself, my life will be very, very small and have very little impact or very, very little worth unless I connect with other people in the body of Christ, because this passage says I belong to them and they belong to me. And when you go through this process, as you will in some of your small groups, what you'll learn is we have an inventory. I mean, we spent 6 years and hundreds of thousands of dollars to help people discover their work style and their spiritual gifts and their passions and different things. So you could get and say, you know what? I'm really good at these. Those are my strengths. God gives you strengths to build your confidence. These are my weaknesses, what I'm not good at. God gives you weaknesses to remind you of your dependency. And I'm just gonna, you know, I don't go to this church. I love this church. I don't go to this church. But if I did, I would tell you everything that Kyle talked about, that I'll talk about this week and next week and this journey, the level of commitment, intentionality, if you seek to do it by yourself on your own, are you ready? Can I just get your paper out? F. It's impossible. The only way you discover who you are, the only way you'll ever belong, is you have to get connected in a group. You have to have people that will give you honest feedback. You know, actually, you are good at that. Don't you see it? And other times, it's a little more painful. You think you're good at this because someone told you that to be a good person. You know what? Can I tell you this? Stop doing that. You're not any good at all. But I love you. But that only happens in the context of a group where you're loved and you're cared for, and it's a journey. I always think about the sort of the two kinds of people that get off track, and we're all one or another in some way. And remember, we're all desperately insecure. And when we're insecure, what did Adam and Eve do? They hid because they don't want to be exposed and they had fear. All of us have either strong reactions or weak reactions in order to hide so that people won't know who we really are. And by the way, we all do this. Some people more than others. So we all meet someone who, right? They walk into a room. Oh, yeah, I had a pretty busy week. The President of the United States and I met. You know, I had to cut it short because I was pretty busy. And the owner of the Atlanta Falcons, Jerry Jones, he's kind of hard to get along with. But he's a good guy. Yeah, it's downsizing the economy right now. I only have 39,000 people in our company reporting to me instead of 75 like 4 years ago. But you have to deal with things. And my trophy wife and my beautiful everything and... Did I tell you I have it all together? I didn't. Don't know if I mentioned that or not, right? Have you been around those people? Right? They power up, and they can do it in small. What's your reaction inside? I lived in a world where there was a lot of those kind of people, and I read a book by Paul Tournier called The Strong and the Weak, Swiss psychologist many years ago. And the theme is everyone's desperately insecure and we're all hiding. And he said, some people, guess what? When you puff up like that, guess what? People don't want to be close to you. They're not vulnerable. But guess what they've done? They've hidden. That little boy or that little girl behind that posturing feels safe and they've learned to do it like that. And here's the thing, once you know that, and I experienced that, I just think, oh man, this guy sure needs some help, or this gal, she's desperately insecure, so I think I'll just take off my mask and see if I can be of some help. You know, why did you say that, and what's going on in your life? Other people, it's the opposite. You know, you meet them, and their eyes go down, and I'm not a very smart person, and I've been kind of a nobody, and I came from a really difficult background, and I don't think anyone, if they ever got to know me, would love me. And then they don't engage very much. They don't take much initiative, and they have all these weak reactions, and they separate themselves. Why? Because now they're safe. And sometimes if you reach out to them, they'll tell you this very painful story that's really true. And initially you say, oh great, how can I help you? Then the next time they tell you the story, the ninth time they tell you the story, and it's like they don't really want help. They found their value in being a victim, but what the victimhood has done, it's kept them safe. So, you know, when you're bowling, it doesn't matter whether the gutter ball goes in the gutter to the left or to the right. They're gutter balls. And the issue with both is pride. Who are you? Think accurately about yourself. Where do you belong? You have a reason. You have a role to fulfill. We need you. We need you in the body of Christ. And finally, what are you supposed to do? God has given you tools, spiritual gifts. And the point of this passage, we have some information you'll go through to discover your spiritual gift. But what's the point of this passage? If it's prophecy, do that. If it's teaching, do that. If it's encouragement, do that. If it's giving, do that. In other words, discover your unique role and do that instead of all the pressure and all the expectations. If you discover these are my strengths, these are my weaknesses, this is the spiritual gifts God's depotted. Did we depot people in plants? Deposited in me. Now you have a filter to say yes to this and say no to that. I've spent a good portion of my life pleasing people, and it never ends well. Discovering who you are in Christ, where you belong, and getting connected, and then discovering that your gifts will reveal where he wants you to put the lion's share of your energy. This amazing gift, right? We sang it. His name is power. His name is healing. His name is life. It is, and it's always true, but the believers who experience that are on a certain day, at a certain time, they get, I'm done playing, and they bow the knee and say, Lord, I'm all in. I don't know what it means, and it scares me to death, but you're a good God, I'm all in. And then they go on a journey, and they say, I constantly have this problem. Conform to the world or renewed my mind in your word. You said the only way to experience your will that's good, the depth, the intimacy, the grace, becoming who I was made to be. I need to renew my mind. And then finally, he says, you need to start thinking accurately about yourself. Where do you belong? You're a child of God. There's a family. It's called the body of Christ. And what do? Just your part. You're a piece of a puzzle of this amazing collage of all the believers. And if you don't show up and you don't do your part, you think, well, it's just small. I got news for you. My vocal cords are very small, but if they're not here, I can't do anything that I'm doing. There's no small people and there are no small places in God's economy. You are you ready? Three things to remember. You can download the notes where all that I've said, I think it comes out maybe later today or tomorrow. But I put these in the notes. Never forget, you're uniquely created. Are you ready? Do you believe this? You're eternally valuable. Not if or not because. You are eternally valuable just because you were created by him and he purchased you for himself. Second, God placed you in his family. You are unconditionally accepted. And that's why you have to get in community, so you can experience it and share it. And finally, you are gifted to fulfill his purpose. You may not feel this way. You are irreplaceably significant. You are a work of art, a precious child. Deeply valued human being whom Christ died for and rose from the dead, and his plan and his desire for you is not to come to church a few times and try to be a nice person and ask him to help your life work out to fulfill your agenda. His desire is to do something in you and then through you that is more wonderful, more joyful, more empowering, and more healing than you can ever imagine. And it's hard, and you need people, and he'll do it. Here's my question. Would you join him? Would you just take the next baby step? Whatever he's spoken to you, would you just take the next baby step to whatever he's shown you, and he'll give you more light? Father, I pray now for my brothers and my sisters. I've watched you take this passage and this journey and transform lives and churches because it's your word, it's your plan, it's the profile of a follower of Jesus. Help us, please. Help us to be these kind of disciples. It is in the powerful name of unlimited access of Jesus that we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening. If today's message made you realize you need to take your next step with Jesus, we would love to help you with that. You can connect with us on any of our social media platforms throughout the week or visit our website at southeastchristian.org. And if you want to hear more content like this, you can check out our sermons podcast or our One at a Time podcast. Both can be found everywhere podcasts are available. Have a great week.